This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Nothing says welcome home like a hidden body in the basement. It's Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Of course, everybody's going to say it, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but is that the case here? Christian Combs, the son of Diddy, now facing some legal ramifications, civil suit being brought against him. Grace Marca delivered legal documents to Christian Combs at Diddy's Miami mansion just this last week. He's facing sexual assault allegations from a former yacht stewardess going back to July of 2022. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, joining us. It's a little different than the past when there was allegations flying and going, because I think a lot of what Christian saw in his life was, well, dad tampered it down, spent some money, and everything kind of went away. Not so much the case anymore. This is a new world he's going to have to navigate, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit unusual. I didn't quite see this coming. It's weird because it sort of tracks some of the same allegations that his father is facing. And it's on a yacht. You know, there's a sort of like luxurious image and environment. And lo and behold, the son, is now also charged with sexual assault. So quite an important development in this larger Diddy saga.
It's got to be a weird atmosphere on a yacht like that when you're employed to what you think is you're there to, you know, be a stewardess. Basically, you're going to bring food. You're going to do kind of the housekeeping type stuff. But then lo and behold, it's Diddy and his kids and whoever else is with the Diddy party. And they seem to want a little bit more than just, hey, can you bring me a cocktail? I'm just wondering what life is like for someone in this sort of a situation where you're going into a job like this. Are you going into that knowing like this is going to get shady because of the people you're dealing with? I mean, how do you really combat that? I mean, it's your job. It's what you want to do. Most people are probably appropriate, one would hope. But when you get something like this, I mean, it's you're walking into a bad situation no matter what.
Yeah, it seems like horrible circumstances, Tony. I mean, you know, life is hard enough, work is hard enough. Yeah. And then on top of that, you put this sort of threat of being sexually molested. Yeah. These folks who are in these industries, they're catering to the rich and famous. And sometimes the rich and famous, you know, think the rules don't apply to them. And they think that they can kind of do whatever they want. And I just wonder how many of these service industry folks are subjected to this kind of alleged behavior in that environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, do you put up with oogling from creepy men, or then it goes to something like this where it's if the allegations are true, being cornered in an area, then being assaulted by Christian Combs. It's a weird spot with Christian because he's not like other kids. I mean, he's not. I mean, look, he grew up with Diddy. This is the life he knows, and no way does that excuse anything. But I'm also thinking he's from a world where this isn't wrong. I mean, it is wrong, but in his mind, I don't know that part clicks.
You know, you got to wonder what he saw growing up. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he was perfectly taken care of and shielded from some of the more egregious alleged behavior.
Yeah.
But you've got to wonder what he saw. And, you know, it reminds me also of the Kanye West lawsuit against Kanye West, where he's sort of treating his employees allegedly in a horrendous fashion, you know, taking advantage of them, publicly humiliating them. These people at this high echelon, I think, sometimes just believe that they can do whatever they want. And now we see these charges not only against Diddy, but against his son, Christian Combs.
How difficult it is, do you think, for the attorneys of Christian to kind of get him to wrap his mind around these allegations? I mean, just seeing how they've always been, the response is, oh, it's all fake, it's not true, until the video comes out. And then it's like, oh, well, he's sorry. And if this is all you know, I don't know that Christian thinks he's probably did anything wrong. If this is, you know, I mean, that's got to be a difficult one to try and get your client under control and under wraps, because they could screw it up very quickly in the public eye just by being out there.
Yeah, you said it, Tony. I think the prime term here is client control. It is so hard to maintain control of this type of client. And we look at his father's case. You know, I'm certain his father's attorney said, hey, do not be making jail calls, talking about the case. Certainly do not try to contact witnesses, that kind of thing. And now we see Diddy using other people's accounts to do that, likely in defiance of his own attorney's advice. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be difficult to rein in Christian Combs and to get him to understand the gravity of what's happening, because he may not have experienced any kind of similar pressure throughout his entire life.
Well, it looks like they're having difficulty reining Diddy in from behind bars as well in this case. We're hearing, obviously, lots of complaints. There's some arguments going on right now about him having access to a laptop. What do we know about that? What do we know about, you know, is he being treated differently behind bars? Is he getting access to the things that he needs? Some have said, you know, he's being treated quite well in the state that he's in. But of course, it's not what, you know, he's used to by any means.
You know, in terms of whether he's being treated fairly, it certainly depends on who you ask. If you ask jail staff, they said, hey, that they're treating him like anybody else, and that they did, you know, that cell raid that was just kind of a facility-wide search. It wasn't targeted to him. His attorneys say, no, he's being, you know, selectively persecuted behind bars. But yeah, the having his world flipped upside down in terms of his living conditions, that's got to be jarring for anybody. Yeah. And I imagine there's kind of an adjustment period, and Diddy is probably trying to adjust.
Obviously, he deserves his day in court. He deserves to argue his point. There's been some shade thrown towards him about his kids and the birthday video, and that it was all kind of a ploy to humanize Diddy, to make him look more like a family man, which I guess if you're in that situation, that's what you're going to want to do no matter what. But it's being looked at as a stunt and taking advantage of innocent victims. Is that something Diddy should continue doing despite the criticism? Will that ultimately be more of a boon to him trying to show himself in that light versus just, you know, being behind bars and keeping quiet?
You know, it's tough. Diddy's got to do something to counter the social narrative, but he's got to also make sure that he doesn't make things worse for himself. And when you're using children, you know, people sometimes see that as, oh, you're using these vulnerable people as pawns to try to further your own legal interests. I think that could be a problem. But on the other hand, who else can he enlist? I don't know anyone else who's come out really strongly in support of Diddy. And so maybe he just feels like this is a last resort. Who else can I ask but my family?
Well, I mean, there's so many cases where we see family stand up and support, and even if the person is quite a monster. So it's not shocking, I think, that you're going to see their kids or his kids come out and be behind him. It's their dad. It's all they know. I mean, to accept that some of these allegations are true is, you know, got to be somewhat mind-boggling for any of them. But here we sit, waiting for that the trial date. Probably more superseding indictments, though, before we actually hit trial. I know they're saying, was it early next year, supposedly, for it? But yeah, I'm kind of guessing that's not going to take place. May 5th of 25 is when it is set for. How much more do you think we're going to see come down the pike here before the end of the year? Do you think we're going to see a slowdown in some of the Diddy allegations with the holidays coming about? Maybe wait till people are more in tune with what's going on, if that's the prosecution's goal, for people being aware of this slow Christmas? Or are we going to see some bombshells drop before the holidays?
You know, I think there are two developments that have bearing on the issue. One is that a little while back, not too long ago, after the case had been filed, the prosecutor reconvened the New York federal grand jury, mm-hmm. which often means they're taking more evidence, which could mean more charges. On the other hand, the lead federal prosecutor in this district, I think it's the Southern District of New York, actually resigned recently. And so is that going to result in some kind of sea change? Is defense going to somehow try to use that to their advantage, have new eyes looking at the case and a new person with whom to negotiate?
That is making me wonder a little bit with all these changes that are coming about. I mean, you look over at the Menendez case. I mean, obviously, it's a very different case, but you have a different AG over there that's taking a look at things. you get a new person in power, you get new investigators in power, they may have a different take on things. Hopefully they're there to take a look at the wrongdoings, and it's not like, oh, hey, your buddy's in power now. And in no way am I saying that. But could we have some dramatic shifts in this case? I mean, could this completely go in Diddy's direction if a new investigator, a new prosecutor comes in and says, I think maybe we should back off?
You know, anytime there is a new prosecutor, there's a chance for the tides to turn. Like you said, there'll be a new person looking at the case, and that person might have different priorities for their office. They might have a different agenda that they want to pursue. They may have different types of crimes that they want to focus that office's resources on, although that office has massive resources. Mm-hmm. So could that be at least an opportunity for defense to try to gain some leverage, to try to turn the tide a little bit in their favor? Certainly they're going to try it.
I think the question everybody's going to be asking, because this cases like this, you have a lot of high profile people involved beyond Diddy that we do not know the identities of as of yet, is, you know, what can happen between now and then, now in the court, in terms of that information coming out, in terms of information being stopped, in terms of who could be a roadblock. I don't know any of these people that are coming in yet. I mean, just from the surface, do you see anything here that potentially could be a roadblock coming up for any of the new characters added to this story?
Potentially, you know, thinking about it, the original prosecutor who filed it, they had to know that, hey, there's a chance that these victims and witnesses, some of whom might be high profile, could be disclosed. I'm going to file this case anyway. I know that going in. Mm-hmm. When there's a new prosecutor who gets on it, they're kind of caught in the middle of that. And they didn't make that original decision. So they're kind of saying, hey, what am I going to do? How am I going to manage all of these privacy issues and moral issues and everything else? And so could the new prosecutor look at it and say, hey, I don't feel as strongly about this case as the original prosecutor. I'm going to do something different. I think that's entirely possible.
It's a lot to wrap one's mind around coming into a new job going, hey, by the way, here's this case you're dealing with, and it's already established. That's difficult for anyone, no matter what. So it'll be fascinating to see where this goes here as we get into the beginning of 2025. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.